When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Thursday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today as we look at an incredible performance from the Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup playoffs that has the Western Conference Final now tied at 2. Plus, we're going to continue our CFL preview, our look ahead at UFC 302 and the broader MMA world, and an AEW Dynamite recap. A lot to get to. Let's get into it and talk some hockey. What an impressive performance from the Edmonton Oilers in Game 4 of their Western Conference Final last night against the Dallas Stars. It was a showing that, quite frankly, I didn't know if Edmonton could have against this Stars team. I do think Dallas is the better team, but for 50 minutes of this hockey game, it sure didn't feel like it. The Oilers were in complete control for a lot of it, and it was really, really impressive. And to do it after coming off of back-to-back goals by Dallas is just so impressive. And I think the biggest thing for me coming out of this is Leon Draisaitl showed up in this game. He put on one of his best showings of the series, and honestly, one of his better showings of the playoffs. When they started the game and he was out there with Fogle and Perry, I scoffed. I was like, man, they have just decided this guy is cooked and we'll just get the most that we can out of him. Maybe you have to pay attention to it and it's a bit of a smokescreen, but they think this dude is done. And they controlled things so well. It was a heavy brand of hockey that you don't necessarily associate with this Oilers team. Not that they can't, because they can, but you don't necessarily associate what they did there with this Oilers squad. And for Draisaitl now to be able to put that together, and with Dallas dealing with the issues that they might be dealing with on the defensive side of things, it really does open up this door of possibilities for the Edmonton Oilers to make it to the Stanley Cup Final and make a bit of a push here with Connor McDavid and company. Because, like, McDavid's line was great. That second line was still a little quiet with Henrique Kane and Holloway. Maybe there's a bit of mixing and matching they can do with that. But that gives you three lines that you're pretty comfortable rolling, and then the fourth line can just go out there and do fourth line things. And that will be fine. But this was a really, really, really big step for the Oilers to get that out of Leon Draisaitl. On the blue line, Darnell Nurse, an excellent recovery. That second goal, if it goes in a movie, it's like, okay, you guys are overdoing it now because that one's ridiculous. But he was the last man back on the 2-on-1 that led to the first goal of the game. The second game goes in off of his bum, and he responds by having a very strong game. And I think we've very much established that he and CeCe should not be a pair together at all. I don't know why CeCe was out there in the first place. To put in Broberg over Desharnais instead of CeCe, I thought was quite a miss from this Edmonton side, but like obviously it worked out. But I don't think CeCe was all that good in this one anyway. But the big story here is Darnell Nurse with a recovery to get it back on track and come up with a really, really strong game. And he was instrumental in a couple of big plays for Edmonton there down the stretch. If you got past the forwards, who were playing pretty well, were able to work your way around the defense, you had to deal with a goalie who was on fire. And Stuart Skinner was exactly what they needed him to be. He came up with big saves when the Oilers were trying to get back in it and when the Oilers were out in front. And I think any questions around this player are now done. You don't need to question if it's going to be Pickard or anyone else. It's just It's Stuart Skinner's time in between the pipes now for Edmonton. On the Stars side, they succumbed to the same kind of drowning that the Canucks did, where Edmonton just played keep away. And this is another one where I don't think Edmonton defended all that well. They just didn't have to do it very often because their offense controlled so much of this game. The big story for the Stars is Tanev, as he goes down with an injury after blocking a shot off of a foot. He was spotted today in a walking boot. Who knows? If he's out, I don't know how Dallas wins this series. I think that they have severe limitations when they are going to have to defend now three lines that Edmonton's going to feel comfortable with, and you probably just ignore the Henrique one and just focus on Draisaitl and McDavid and try to go from there. But you're really doing it with like one pair that you're super comfortable with in that spot. It's asking a lot out of Harley and a lot out of Lindell, quite frankly, to get this thing rolling. Hakanpää doesn't sound like he's coming back for a bit. So now that depth that we talked about on Dallas's side does get tested. The kids did all right in this game. Robertson gets a good chance early on. Johnson gets the goal early, but I thought when they were trying to get it back on track, they just simply couldn't, and that was a problem for them. Need more jump in game five, but overall, this has been a really, really fun series. All right, let's shift gears now and talk CFL as our preview of the 2024 CFL season continues. Today, we are looking at players on the hot seat. Yesterday, we focused on coaches on the hot seat, but it's not just them. Players can be on the hot seat as well. So I'm looking at three quarterbacks today who could find themselves on a bit of a toastier seat going into this season. And the first one might be a bit of a surprise, but it's McLeod Bethel-Thompson out in Edmonton. Yes, he just got there, but Ford was a fan favorite and a big part of a turnaround in Edmonton, to whatever extent they turned things around. But Ford was a big part of what they did out in Edmonton. And if this is off to a slow start with the Elks this season, there's going to be a lot of questions about Chris Jones, and there's going to be a lot of questions about MBT. So we'll see if he can answer those this upcoming season. Bo Levi Mitchell in Hamilton. The first season was a disaster, as we predicted on the show. He called out the coaching staff for a lack of playing time in the playoffs. He has already been banged up. I think this is kind of last chance saloon for Bo Levi Mitchell. And Jake Meyer is the last, is the last one. This is not an organization that is used to this amount of losing. And this is, I think there are large sections of the fan base that are fed up with this particular quarterback. I know there are a lot of defenders out there as well, but he needs to figure this out. There needs to be, I think, a pretty substantial step forward for him to remain as the quarterback for the Calgary Stampeders going into next year. And that's going to be tricky because two receivers already went down with an injury. All right, so the CFL previews will continue into next week as we get ready for games next week. It's going to be a great time. Okay, let's go now to the Ultimate Fighting Championship as we get ready for UFC 302. A good time to take a look at what else is happening in the...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
MMA world. So the big news, I didn't accumulate everything here because I thought one kind of stood out from the rest, and that is Nick Diaz is back as he goes up against Vicente Luque in Abu Dhabi. It's part of a obviously, as the UFC does, it's part of a bigger card that is heading out there. It's going to be a 5-round fight. I have no idea what to expect. I'm just happy that Diaz is back in the UFC. He has been a interesting figure in combat sports for a very, very long time. And so it's just fun that he's back. It's also a nice kind of proof of concept for Vicente Luque, who now gets to step up in what will easily be the highest profile fight of his career. So we will see how he handles that coming up here when those two fight out in Abu Dhabi. This is going to be an all action fight. But I think that this is going to be a nice platform for Vicente Luque to kind of do the damn thing and be able to elevate his brand, as weird as it is to talk about fighters in that way, but to elevate the brand of Vicente Luque, kind of establish that, yeah, this is like an all-violence kind of guy, and and see if he can bring that out of Nick Diaz. So I just wanted to mention that one quickly, even though that's a bit of a quick hitter here. Let's shift gears and talk wrestling, as AEW is heading towards their Forbidden Door after Double or Nothing in Vegas. So we are now on the road to Forbidden Door, and we have an intriguing match at the end of it, as Will Ospreay will go up against Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Championship. I think this match is going to be incredible. Like, these are two of the top performers in the world right now going head-to-head. This is going to be an incredible wrestling match. I also like that they're not married to the idea of New Japan against CMLL. This is kind of like when WWE did Survivor Series, and it was teams of five strive to survive. And then they realized, you know, we can do a couple of these and still have like a main event at the end of it. With like Hulk Hogan against Undertaker or something like that. We don't need to be married to the concept the whole way through the fucking thing. And so I like that you are just like, that this isn't going to be Swerve against mid-card New Japan wrestler X. These are two of the best wrestlers in the world wrestling for what AEW would tell you is the top prize in the industry. And so I like this a lot. And I think that the start of it is fun. Like you get Swerve, who has a good match in the beginning of the show with Killshot, ends up cutting off a piece of his hair and keeping that as a memento and kind of, again, reestablishing the badassery that is Swerve Strickland. And then you have Ospreay win this gauntlet that I think was a bit better set up this time. There was a bit more of an understanding from the announcers and from the crowd as to what to expect. And I think it's an interesting, like, it's an interesting concept, the kind of sudden death nature of it all. So I think it's kind of fun. I have no idea where they're going to go with this match. It feels too early to end Swerve's title reign, and it feels too early to beat Ospreay in a big match for the first time. And so this is what AEW was so fun with initially, where you would have these amazing matches, and it's like, one of these guys is going to lose. And AEW did a great job with, we're not going to do fuck finishes, we're not going to mess around with anything, we are just going to have the best wrestlers in the world wrestle. Some will win, some will lose. Some are born to sing the blue. But no, there are stakes in this. And both of these guys, well, conventional wisdom, I guess, would suggest that, oh, well, you can't beat this guy. Well, you can't beat this guy. Both these guys can afford a loss. They are that good. They will be able to be fine coming off of a defeat here. So it's really interesting. And I do think it is now on the creative of AEW to understand, like, okay, when one of these guys loses, you have to continue to build them up like a star. This can't be Ricky Starks or whatever. Not that Will Ospreay is Ricky Starks, but you know what I mean. We've had a few where it's been rise, done as soon as we've kind of used you. To that end, Sky Blue interrupting Mercedes Moné. I thought it was weird. It felt like just a, well, let's just get it out of the way. There was no explanation for why she did it. There was no grander whatever. It was just, yeah, I attacked you. What of it? Let's have a match. And they had a match, and it was over in 7.5 minutes. And now that story just feels done. Like, it felt very much like, get anyway, and we'll go from there. But, like, it is too bad. I do like the development of Blue quite a bit. But a Stephanie Vaquer match with Mercedes Moné is going to be a lot of fun. I am done with this version of Chris Jericho. I could be proven wrong. They might be able to bring the nose up on this one. But it has been so cringy and so bad. I think it's trying to be bad and ironic about how bad it's being, but it's just, it's being bad. Like, unless this is Bray Wyatt introducing The Fiend, where it's this happy-go-lucky TV character, and then eventually the dark side comes out and it's The Fiend and you have to run. This is awful television. It's really, really bad. And, like, I do think there's an interesting way to do this. I do think if you want to do, like, oh man, you guys know how much I love TV time, hey? Like, if you wanted him to just be over-the-top positive guy, you could have him be the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and it will never, ever be the same again, and do all of his old shit, but do it in, like, a really smarmy way, in a way that he has kind of mocked before. Like, yeah, I don't want to be just doing all this shit just because I know it gets a pop. I want to be constantly reinventing myself. You could reinvent yourself by going back to the callbacks, but mocking people who do that, I think it would be really, really interesting. Trent and Orange Cassidy continues. I thought the segment was good. Orange Cassidy, where he rips it, and then it's just like, no. Was quite funny and really entertaining, I thought. And but then Trent coming out after, it was such great production where you have Statlander and Stokely come out on the ramp and start cutting the promo, and then you cut into the ring and Trent's just there, like a TikTok transition. It was so well done. And now Trent going with the Don Callis family makes a lot more sense. I think we need to stop with the Ospreay stuff in that as well, and let's just really firmly establish what the Don Callis family is, because I feel like there is something there. It's just all this like, well, we're going to try to bring in this good guy and this good guy, but we have this bad guy. I think we need to establish now what this group is and what the foundation is and kind of build from there. The tie-in, like I said, with Statlander was good. And I thought her with Hathaway was really good tonight. The logic on the turn was a little annoying. Like, how dare she try to win a championship? That feels a little lazy almost, but it's an all right start for me. And then lastly, ladder match is going to be coming for the TNT Championship. Don't mind that at all. We didn't need another tournament. There might have been a more creative way to go about it, but I don't mind getting to this. And it gives you a spot where you can get a bunch of New Japan and CMLL talent in there and have it be a fun night. Overall, this was a fun show. I was surprised at the lack of New Japan involvement in this one, but overall it was a good show as we get ready for Forbidden Door. Okay, that is going to do it. This was a bit of a rapid fire show today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Back tomorrow with a Fights in Football Friday. Just a Fighting Friday, sorry. All right, talk to you guys later. I'm out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.